Let's go straight to Zorba now. This coaching merry-go-round is, well, it's maintained a lot of interest in the game of rugby league. I'm not sure it's all positive, especially for the individuals involved. Love to get Zorba's thoughts on it, and he joins us on the line. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, boys. Yeah, it's no off-season in rugby league. I mean, we're just a few hours away from watching a test match in England, and we've had the coaches move all over the place in the last few days. Interesting one for me now. Is going to be Michael Maguire to the West Tigers, and where does that leave the brilliant Sean Johnson? Who would have believed that he's just been told to go and test the market? Looks like the mercurial halfback 5'8" is going to be put on the open market, and the drums are beating that he'll go to the West Tigers.
Gee, they've got a number of players there that have played those positions, and some of them are very highly paid as well. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. He's in the box seat, isn't he, at the moment, though, Michael Maguire, if he's coaching him over there for New Zealand. Before we get to that, I said it earlier, Zorb, Ivan Cleary, I know the man. I've played with Ivan Cleary. I think he's done some damage to his reputation in leaving the West Tigers in the fashion that he has. What are your thoughts?
Well, Ivan is a very quietly spoken person, as you know.
Yep.
And he likes to keep his cards close to his chest. But I think here that impossible situation of wanting to coach your son at the highest level has taken over probably from what he would normally do. I don't blame him, but you're right. He has damaged his reputation. The coaching merry-go-round, who would have believed that Wayne Bennett at his age would end up at South Sydney? I think the whole lot of the coaching situation has come as a result of the young South Sydney coach, the coach of the year in Anthony Seibold, wanting to go back to the club that he played for. That, to him, is the jewel in the crown. In Brisbane, they're filthy about one of their favourite sons, Kevvy Walters, being overlooked for it. The past great players are coming out saying it's a dreadful decision. So things are not looking good. And, you know, the Brisbane Broncos, once again, with a golden pass from the NRL, I mean, I can't get over how they come out with a draw and they get 8 out of their first 10 games at home on a Friday night, which means consistent 7-day turnarounds, no matches in the early heat of the day, in the early part of the season. It's simply an unfair advantage, and the NRL can't escape it. I mean, they keep saying it's difficult to come up with an even draw, but it's not an even playing field. It's a joke.
Yeah, no, it happens every year, doesn't it, Zorb? Hey, Zorb, just back to Bennett and Seibold. I did ask Jimmy this earlier. Their swap at the moment will take place in 2020. Should it take place before then? Should it start for next season?
Well, a lot of things should be happening before the start of next season. I mean, that is another must, I think, will happen. Be interesting to see what players from the Broncos want to follow Wayne Bennett to South Sydney, and does South Sydney have the salary cap to fit them in? I mean, there's a lot of suggestions, even today, that Kieran Foran could return to Manly. I can't see how that could happen. I'm 100% behind Des Hasler's return to Manly. It's what the club needs. But suggestions today in both Sunday papers that Desi wants to bring Kieran Foran back, well, simply, I'm gobsmacked. He hasn't performed for several seasons. He's on close to $1 million a year at Manly, at the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Manly have just bought a 5'8 in Kane LG. The Dogs would love to offload Foz, but for me, it would be, I reckon it's a dumb decision. I won't say it can't happen, but I will say it shouldn't happen.
Well, and it all depends at what price it happens at too. And I'm talking about not just for Manly, but for the Bulldogs as well, who plays the majority of that $1 million salary. And you could see physically he wasn't there in season 2018. How much did Sea Eagles owner Scott Penn have to swallow his pride to invite Des Hasler back to be the coach of his team?
I'd say a lot.
Yeah.
I would say a lot. And, you know, that needs sorting out. I mean, the front office need to sort that out immediately. I mean, Trent Barrett, in effect, is still there, still getting paid. Now, there's one office there, and while it's a lot bigger than the one that Desi left, which was a pigeonhole, one which I took over with, along with Bob Fulton for a while, and it was like a kennel. You know, it's three times as big, but two of them won't fit in there. Hassel won't go near the place while Barrett's there. I mean, Lyle Gorman's got to sort it out. It's not hard. I understand some negotiations have taken place in the last couple of days where a bit of a peace pipe was smoked. A lot better deal was put on the table as far as Manly were concerned by Barrett's management, but I understand it hasn't been taken up yet. It needs to be sorted out, and it needs to be sorted out before tomorrow.
So what happens to Barrett now? What happens to his coaching future, do you think, Saul?
Well, I don't think he's done himself any good, and there's certainly not a head coaching job, but I would imagine that if he wants to eat humble pie and take up an assistant's job, there will be one for him somewhere.
You mentioned the Test match, England 18, New Zealand 16. A couple of the coaches involved in that one, Wayne Bennett and Michael Maguire, who are in the news back here. Bit of controversy in this one, Zorb. You watched it. What were your thoughts on the match?
Well, I grew up as a person that wanted to just listen to everything I could. I used to listen to the Test cricket from England. I used to listen to the Test rugby league. And around about 1963, the Poms beat us at Headingley. And the referee was Sergeant Major Clay. Eric Clay. And I'd never forgot that name. And the commentators couldn't believe it. Barry Muir, the Australian halfback, approached the referee after full time, the last series that England won on home soil. "You robbed us," he said to the referee, Sergeant Major Eric Clay. And he looked at Barry Muir and said, "Aye," he said, "Barry, I've got to live here." And he just made no excuses for his performance. We then saw neutral referees like the Frenchman, Julian Rascignari, take over Test matches, and it was almost as bad. But last night, Robert Hicks from England, if I had to rate him last night, I would rate him 1 out of 10. It was a dismal display, penalties galore, a lot of them to England, and it wasn't a good look. There was a penalty try given in the game.
Yeah.
They went upstairs to the video ref, another English referee in Ben Taylor, and it was knees by the fullback and captain of New Zealand in Zeleny Dolezniak, and I didn't think there was any way it was a penalty try, but he gave the penalty try. It was 12 all at half time. Brilliant try by Oliver Gildart, the Wigan centre. He's a good young player. Late in the game, with about 13 minutes to go, gave England 18-16 lead, which they hung on to. But the English pack contained a lot of players. Well, all of the players, except for the veteran captain from Wigan, Sean O'Loughlin, they're all NRL forwards. Burgess boys, Graham, Whitehead, Hodgson. Now, Bateman, who's coming to Canberra. He's done well out of the Poms. Elliot Whitehead has doubled his value in the game since he left England. He's just got better playing for Canberra. Hodgson's a star, and so will Bateman be. He's a versatile player, can play second row or centre. He offloaded the ball to Gildart for the try that won it last night. He's a good player.
Yeah, I saw Bateman in the World Cup last year playing in the centres. Probably back row is his best position, but yeah, I think you're right. I think Canberra Raiders have got another good Englishman there in Bateman.
I know you've got the great trainer on shortly, and
yes,
what a man he is. Interesting piece in the Weekend Australian yesterday by one of our city's best sporting journalists in Will Swanton. He rated the top 10 sporting performances and greatest winning streaks in Australian sporting history. He's now got Winks in third spot behind St George, who won 11 straight New South Wales premierships from 56 to 66.
Yeah.
He's got Herb Elliott, who was unbeaten in 1,500 metres for a mile in 42 races from 57 to 61. Then the Golden Girl comes in, Winks in third spot, Black Caviar fourth, Heather Mackay unbeaten in squash matches from 1962 to 1981, including 16 straight British Opens in fifth spot. And then we go the Australian cricket team under Steve Waugh from 1999 to 2001, to the Queensland State of Origin team, to Dawn Fraser, gold medal at three Olympic Games consecutive, and Mackay Diva, three straight Melbourne Cups. It can only rate 10th So, you know, it's amazing. Good luck to Winks. That was amazing yesterday.
Yeah.
I was picking someone up from the airport, and the airport sort of stopped. People were listening to it, looking at it on their phones, and they had it up on the screens, and it was just amazing. And the cheer that went up inside the airport terminal, inside the arrivals terminal, was amazing.
Yeah, wow. She transcends the sport, doesn't she? Zorb, good on you, mate. We appreciate that. We'll speak to you again next week.
Okay, boys.
There you go, Pete. By the way, that England v New Zealand match will be at Anfield next week, playing at Anfield. Yeah, so that's a bit of excitement for the boys there, and we'd wait for confirmation of the nationality of the referee.